You are listening to Sci-Fi Party Line. This show may contain spoilers and strong language.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line. This is your hostess, Kat, and we are doing a Wrap the Frack Up Battlestar Galactica, and we're glad to be out of here.
Yeah, I got my Kentucky Fried Chicken frack pack right in front of me. Yay!
You hush, Will.
It ain't over.
That does not mean what I think you think it means.
Okay, so I have Will, I have Phineas, and I have T. Morris all together, and they're going to go at it like, well, I don't know if they're going to go at it, and I'm not sure if I have a good reference for that, so I'm going to leave it alone. Okay, so let's go ahead and start with, how did we feel about this episode? Did it bring you closure? Was it good? Did it suck? Did you hate it? Phineas, let's go with you first.
Why are you going to go with me first?
Okay, Phineas, let's screw you. Let's go with next in line, T. Morris, then. No.
I hate to say it, Phineas, but you better kick back and sit up and just enjoy it, because I got a rant, but it's actually a slightly different rant. It's a rant on myself.
And Phineas, I did not mean to be say such a strong screw you. That was most funny.
Oh, yes, you did.
That's all right.
That was supposed to be funny. You know that.
I love you.
You
know me. I'm not fragile at all. I mean, you can.
Oh, look at him.
You know me. I can dish it out. I can take it.
All right, T. You have a rant on yourself. That's curious. What's that
name? I have a rant on myself. Now, I don't know how many of your listeners have read my article. I have an article in a collection of essays called So Say We All. It was put out by Ben Bella Press, and it was just a bunch of essays about Battlestar Galactica. And this was after the first season or first two seasons. And I fessed up that when the miniseries came out, I hated it. And I went very, very public wherever I could, cons, blogs, interviews, etc., that I really did not care for Ron Moore's reimagined miniseries of Battlestar Galactica. That being said, I now find myself on the defensive, defending the what I thought was an absolutely brilliant wrap-up for Battlestar Galactica.
What's the change of heart?
Let me just give you an idea. And, Kat, okay. you know my fascination with the show I'm about to mention. I rank up this finale of Battlestar Galactica right up there next to the finale of Farscape.
Oh, good on you. Oh, yeah. I like that. I can see that. I've said that myself in a blog post, so I'm there with you.
I was satisfied. The rant, again, going back to the rant on me, the first time I appeared on your podcast, if you recall, I went on a tear about just how dismal and hopeless this season of Galactica has been, and I really believe that one of the reasons why it has been so intense is because we finally get what I feel like has been something that I've missed from Battlestar Galactica all season long, which is hope. We finally got a sense of hope, and I was moved to tears several times during and after BSG. You, regardless of how you feel about the writing, you could not touch any of the actors. The acting was at its full tilt best. Edward James Olmos, my God, can that man make me cry? I was laughing at him when he was trying to repaint Galactica by himself. But I think for that little moment where I thought he was about to jump the shark, he brought it back with. And here's what I think is funny. Almost has sort of established himself as being this really massive, you know, powerhouse of an actor. I mean, you know, and a real wallpaper chewer. You know, I mean, the whole So Say We All thing, the whole, you know, this is likely a one-way mission, you know, just balls to ball.
Yeah.
And yet the most powerful stuff he did throughout the entire series happened in the finale when he's just sitting there. Spoiler alert coming up for those of you who haven't heard it.
This show's a spoiler alert.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah. That's what the title should be of this show. Spoiler alert.
Spoilers say we all.
So say we spoilers.
So say we all.
Yeah.
So who else cried? Phineas, did you cry? Will, did you cry?
Real men cry, real geeky men cry during finales.
I was in shock. That's all I'll say to that. I agree with I agree with T, and I usually do agree with T about this whole thing. I you know, despite how badly they put the end together, I still liked it. I still thought that it was a clever way to. I still think it was a clever way to come up to the end. The only thing is I still had a flashback to the way they orchestrated the Escape from New Caprica episode, you know, where everything happened and I went to the, you know, the refrigerator and came back and they were rescued. They almost kind of replicated that when they did the jump away from the hive, you know, after it started blowing up. So, but other than that, you know, I think it was a very clever way to come up to the end. I was kind of, in shock when come to find out that they turned Baltar and Six into some kind of deity like God or something, you know, and that they might have orchestrated the whole thing. Yeah, I thought that was that just shocked the blast out of me. I mean, but other than that, I agree with T. I'm not going to repeat everything, but I think it was a very clever way to end the show. I was expecting the worst because I thought it just couldn't be this easy. The Cylons are going to come out of war, you know, come out of hyperspace and blow the whole place up. You know, I was just expecting that the whole time. And then the funny part where Ron Moore winds up doing a little cameo at the end, that was kind of funny, you know.
Nice Hitchcockian moment.
Yeah, so I think, but you know, another, but this, they kind of tricked us though, because it's not over yet. They got some other little series that's supposed to be coming out. I don't know if anybody picked that up, and I want to see what they're going to do with that. But overall, I thought it was a good ending. I didn't cry, but I thought it was very clever how they ended it. And still, I'm glad I was wrong in the last podcast, and the final five are still useless. They still did not serve any purpose, nor did the Cylons that collaborated with the colonists. They didn't do anything either. I mean, if it wasn't for the fact that Sam, you know, they put Sam in a bathtub and plugged him in, they still would have been blown up anyway, regardless of the fact that they had the support from the Cylons. So I'll just leave it at that.
And who's next?
Okay,
I guess it makes a will, yeah.
I came close to crying a couple times. And when they were ending, I like how at the very end they were ending each of the stories. Mm-hmm. And I teared up in several, I came very close to tearing up in several locations among those stories. And everything T said, definitely agree. I agree with 90% of what Phineas was saying. But it was as perfect an episode, an ending of the episodes as you could hope for. It was very, very good. And again, acting. It's not about the space battle. Space battle was like cool, but like the ultimate, the big part of it was the people and the acting. And that's what it was. I mean, I like how Phineas was saying, you know, it's like, I missed something. You know, I walked out, landed on New Caprica, I walked out, came back in, and everything had changed. And it is that. It's like life. Long periods of boredom surrounded by intense operations of things, you know, where the actual plot happens. You know what I mean? That usually isn't the predominant event in your life, or in a movie, actually, or a TV show, because you're supposed to see that as an event, a thing. You know, you're telling this story. Why? Because it's unusual. Things happen in an odd way, and the whole story was that for Battlestar Galactica.
So did he redeem himself with this? Do you think it makes up for the D thing?
I don't think. I honestly.
No.
I know. I honestly don't think that Ron was trying to make up for something, or that he had to. I've liked every episode of this show straight through. My favorite, and I'll say it again, 33, still the best episode ever. Of TV in general. 33 was just amazing. And that was my opinion was I didn't like the miniseries. Exactly. I was like, it's okay, it's cool. And I knew some people, and I might have gotten a job on that, but that's another thing. But I was really into the show from a technical standpoint. I watch it and go like, oh, it's not really that good. No. Oh, the show's going to be on. Oh, I guess I can watch it. Watched 33. Blew my ass out of the water. It was just amazing.
So, T, do you think he's right with the 33, or what, you made a little comment there about
I find it interesting that 33 was your favorite of the whole series, as well as your favorite of sci-fi in general. TV in general. I mean, that's a bold statement there, sir. That's a bold statement. Because,
well, I'm willing to back it up. I'm willing to stand.
Sure you are.
The thing I like about that episode and other episodes along the way is that the whole thing of destroying the ship to save the colonies started in 33 and was ended last season. Last season, not last half season. Season 3.
What was 33 again?
That was 33,
every 33 minutes, the silence would attack.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they got no rest, and they had to run the FTLs at full speed and everything. And they figured out that one ship had a transmitter or something.
Yeah.
The Olympic carrier, because that's what he carried. Yeah, because Liodama had to blow up the ship, and he carried around the title of the Olympic carrier in his pocket for the rest of the season.
Mm.
Oh, geez, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm a fanboy. I love Battlestar Galactica.
Actually, in production show 23, I didn't get nodded. But
Timber, it's such a pleasure to see you at DragonCon. So this is my question. When you were closing in on the Olympic carrier, why didn't you just pull away? Because, you know, that was a very, very tough decision for you to make.
It's in the script, asswipe.
Next question.
Do you guys think I'm making a joke? But when you go to enough cons, you see that. That crap. You're just like, oh, for the love of frack.
Oh, speaking of cons, have any of you been to a con pre-Battlestar Galactica and seen Richard Hatch actually, I guess, lobby against the making of Battlestar Galactica?
I was there.
I've seen that.
Oh, yeah.
And he was vicious.
He was vicious, but, you know, here's the thing. Hatch was smart about it. Hatch was smart about it because he actually got him. I mean, he played the game. He played the game better than Dirk Benedict, because what he did was that he actually, I think what it was he, and I feel like he might have had a point to prove, because he had his vision of Battlestar Galactica and he wanted to bring it back the way he saw it, and he came close several times. And then was eclipsed by Ron Moore and some of the decision makers over at Sci-Fi. That being said, when Moore was about to get trounced by some of the more hardcore Galactica fans, it was Hatch who stood up and said, "No, let him make his point. Let him at least get his point out. Let him have his voice heard." And backstage, and I read this in a story. Backstage, Hatch went up to Moore and said, "Look, you know, while I don't like your idea, I feel like you have the right to it and you have the right to talk about it, and I think the fans are being a little rude." And Moore was so impressed with the way he handled that, knowing how venomous he was against BSG, he said, "How'd you like to come on and play this part?" And really, I think that Hatch took a lot of that ire and took a lot of that angst he had about the new BSG, funneled it into this incredible character, and I sincerely, I pray, because I've had a chance to run into Richard Hatch a couple of times, and one, he's just a great guy.
Yeah.
And I'm really hoping that this opens up some doors for him, because he just showed how kick-ass of an actor he is. I stopped seeing Apollo after the first few minutes when he was on Zarek.
Oh yeah.
And I look at him now, and I go, "Oh, that's Captain Apollo from Battlestar Galactica in the '70s." I look at him now and I go, "That's actor Richard Hatch."
Yeah. I mean, you know, he could be on 24. He could totally go on 24.
I think so. But, I definitely agree with Richard Hatch and his, you know, he's basically playing Richard Hatch against Battlestar Galactica in the role of Zarek against, you know, the Battlestar Galactica. It was a very interesting take, and it was a very, and it shows his skill as an actor, and, I mean, everybody's skill as an actor. It's just so, it's so shockingly refreshing to have people cast for their ability rather than their type, you know?
Yeah.
Well, oh, this guy looks like this, and we need to use this. Or, you know, this guy looks like that guy, and we need to do that.
I'm sorry. And, you know, I'm sorry, like, but well, they got those Cylon chicks because they were hot. I don't care what you say. They got those ladies because they were hot.
Yes, because Trisha Helfer, she was never an actor. She wasn't an actor prior to
this.
Oh, yeah, she
but
did.
I will say this for Trisha Helfer.
She did it.
Yeah,
I love her.
Trisha was.
Oh, no, whoa. Hang on a second. You got to back off a little bit on Trisha, because let me tell you something. She was good in BSG.
I like
Trisha
a lot.
But they got a lot of ugly, good actresses, too, you know.
Oh, damn.
But here's.
Come on, T.
She was good in BSG. But if you want to know how good she is as an actress, don't watch her in Battlestar Galactica. Watch her in Burn Notice.
Burn Notice, yeah.
She was absolutely awesome. I've never seen the show. And I tell you something, I thought she was hotter. She was hotter in Burn Notice. She was hotter in Burn Notice than she is in BSG.
Because she was just all natural.
I will argue that one.
She's just all natural.
She extrudes beauty, and it's just, it drips off her, and it's like, oh my God.
I totally agree with them,
but you know, just to say
with
that okay, they got
comment,
every actor good. Because of their ability. They got ugly James Olmos. I mean, the dude is not pretty, okay? And they got, you know, a couple of others. They got a couple of other dudes. But the women, I'm sorry, they got them women strictly because they were hot. I don't care what you say. I mean,
I wonder where they dug up Callie from,
but the rest of them were hot. Somebody was sitting there in the casting thing. Ooh, boy, would she look hot in a Viper outfit? You know, somebody had to think something like that, right?
No, I don't agree.
Phineas, I hate to shoot you down like a Cylon in Heat, but let me tell you something. Vaughn Moore, when he was reviewing audition tapes, I read this on Entertainment Weekly. When he was reviewing audition tapes, he was seeing all these beautiful women going by, and his wife said, "You look like you're really upset about something." And he goes, "I can't find Starbuck." And she looked at the screen, looked back at him, and said, "Why don't you open your eyes? She's right there on the screen." And he looked at Katie, he was looking at Katie Sackhoff, and he goes, "Oh, she's totally wrong." And she looked at him, and this is Ron Moore's wife. She goes, "She's totally right." She ran down all the qualities about how her attitude, her brashness, her rough edges, and then she goes, "And look at her. She's gorgeous." And he was like, "Huh, she's right." And that's how she got the part. So actually, beauty came in dead freaking last for Starbuck, who, in my opinion, is still one of the hottest people on BSG.
She is. I do like her. And I watched the last Fracken special, and, you know, she came in her stilettos, she said. And everybody else for the role was looking all Linda Hamilton, but she came in stilettos. And it's like,
apparently everybody says she's a girly girl and likes it and is so totally not Starbuck that it would take your eye off. Oh, can I say something about the special, the Fracken special? Now, I haven't seen it yet, but I understand the CEO or the head of
Bonnie Hammer.
Bonnie Hammer, who never did give enough money to the production to make it from the beginning. Everyone forgets this, and this has to be said. They did not want to make. They made the special, the miniseries, and they did not want to make the series. It was not going to happen. I mean, this went down to the last minute. Bonnie, whatever her name is, wouldn't give enough money to give. Like, well, I don't know what figures we're talking. Runmore and Universal went to Sky Pictures in London and in UK and got funding for Battlestar Galactica. That's why the first season was shown on Sky TV first. Then we all watched it on Torrent. We get, oh no, this is a great show, and then it hit then afterwards. Nothing. And they've been doing that. They've been pulling this bullshit.
Kat?
Yeah.
10 days later, it's just Hello? Terrible.
Yeah, Kat?
Do you hear me?
Yeah. I'm sorry for interrupting you, Will. I'm gonna let you go because I've got to sit out this argument and bite my tongue because I could go on a complete tear on
Why
Bonnie
not?
Hammer.
I'll
tell you why.
No,
it's against my
please.
It's against my doctor it's against my doctor's orders. And I can't.
Hey, Dave, go for it, man. Go for it. Sick.
I went through therapy for this, okay?
Oh, my
okay?
goodness.
I don't know if you guys want to hear. I'm
curious, but, I mean, she's just a person. She's a manager. She's a bean
counter.
She's
the bitch that killed Farscape. She's the bitch that killed Farscape.
Wait, what? Wait, stop. Wait, everybody stop. Goodness. You said what? You said
she's
what?
She's the bitch that killed Farscape.
Oh,
she's the
hell
bitch that killed...
no.
What?
She, all right. Okay. Damn it, I really didn't want to go down this road. So Bonnie Hammer basically acts as Farscape because she says she wants to, quote-unquote, change the geeky nature. Oh, that's the other thing. She hates sci-fi. But they put her in charge.
No. It's not geeky. Exactly.
That's post Bonnie. That whole sci-fi thing is post Bonnie Hammer. But the Sci-Fi Channel, when she came on, she said, "Yeah, I don't like science fiction, but we're going to be changing the image of sci-fi. And the first thing we have to do is we have to clean house." And one of the first things they did was that they basically canceled Farscape,
I'm depressed.
which was their flagship show. It was their flagship show, and also that was the show that had won several prestigious awards for the best science fiction on television. And Bonnie Hammer cancels it. On top of that, right after that, she approves Dune, the miniseries. And in her interview, she said one of the reasons why we went with Dune is because we wanted to show that science fiction was more than just guys living with their moms and dads in the basement of their home. No, wait, there's one more. And then she said, we really liked the script for Dune because it was, it featured strong female characters. And I went, all right, let's look at Dune, shall we? We've got a mother who is, trying to play her son, against her daughter, against the daughter of another couple, and is trying to use them as a piece. We have another mother who hasn't seen her kids in nearly two decades, and then you've got the sister who wants to sleep with her brother. Yeah, these are great female role models, right? And but see, she had just canceled Farscape, where if you look at all the female, most of the female characters that are featured in Farscape, in particular, Chiana, Aaron's son, all those folks. You're talking rock solid.
Especially Aaron Sohn.
Oh, Aaron Sohn. I mean, what's up,
Gary?
That?
Yeah, Bonnie Hammer is she's made a lot of boneheaded moves.
So do you think her formula is working for the Sci-Fi Channel?
No.
Because are they making more money? Do we know anything on her channel?
Oh, they're making more money.
Oh, yeah, they're making more money, but they're... The original idea of the Sci-Fi Channel, which is, I hated it from the first, and I go, sci-fi? Really? Sci-fi? Is this what we want? Sci-fi?
Well, why don't they just change the damn channel's name to... You know, USA had a whole bunch
right.
of sci-fi...
Or Beyond.
Sort of programming, but they changed, and they, you know, have Psych and Monk and stuff like that. They did a total evolution, but because they wasn't stuck in a particular, I guess... Hole or whatever. Why can't they change
the original? I think the original idea was to change it to Beyond, which I think is all right. It's not descriptive exactly. Like the Canadian version of Sci-Fi is called Space, which I think gives you more. You got more room in space to move around. But the thing about it is that Is it more popular? Sure, it's more popular. So is Spike. Spike TV is more popular. Spike TV that replaced reruns of everything. What do they want? What do they want? The original idea was to have people and, you know, and geeky stuff on, you know, all those shows they used to have that were, you know, that would do, you know,
we're
like,
not worth
interviews
as much money.
And reviews. Exactly, because, you know, that, ooh, geez, that might cost, ooh, $10,000, ooh, which is a lot of money. Mm.
So do you think it's her ridiculous. Budgeting, do you think her budgeting, Bonnie Hammer's budgeting, affected the writing and the way things were presented on Battlestar Galactica? Do you think that Ron Moore would have went in a different direction?
No, it did.
Oh, that's interesting.
I don't think so.
Why not?
Oh, no, I'll let you go.
Why not, Phineas?
I don't think it did, because just like I said, I'm part of my experience with this show has been following the forums, and they made it clear that they came up with this stuff as they went along, and I think that this the part of the issue with this show is trying hard to please the fans, and I think that they got a lot of stuff off of what people offer the feedback of what they were reading on the forums. I mean, heck, even the actors are active on the forum, or at least active as far as looking to see what the forum people are saying.
But I think Ron Moore probably drove the writing more than anything. Sorry to interrupt you, but Ron Moore himself said he would say, okay, the fans want this. Let's totally do something totally different. Let's piss them off. Let's you know, get
that's
under their skin.
That's still the same thing.
I say it's certainly not the producer from Doctor Who is saying. He says he doesn't listen to fans because they don't know what they want. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, I get what he's saying. We could have said it a little bit better. You know, it's like, no, I get to play with Doctor Who now. You guys don't get to play with Doctor Who. And that,
his show works.
Sense of that. Exactly.
But I agree with that philosophy.
Exactly, but it's limited in, you know, it's like, well, don't we get to have some fun too? No, you don't, because it sits. And I'm like, okay, I can see that, but, you know, might not be happy about it.
So, T, you said her budgeting did affect the show. How do you think?
Well, I mean, she had to approve the show, and she did want the show, but, I mean, she wanted, I heard through the grapevine that one of the inside jokes of BSG that they snuck into the show was, if you notice, whenever they handed papers to everybody, all the corners were cut off. And that was apparently something to do with cutting corners on the show. And you know, a lot of the, I mean, that's what they were really concerned about, and they've been concerned about that for a long time on Sci-Fi, is just the budget. And I think part of the reason why Eureka, which is another favorite show of Kat's and mine. I don't know if Hammer was still around for the approval of Eureka, but if she was, I will say to her, thank you, because where I think Sci-Fi works and where Sci-Fi fails as a network is when Sci-Fi puts some time and investment into the show, whatever that show may be, it's a solid show. I mean, you look at Farscape, you look at BSG, those were solid shows. But you look at Eureka, also a very solid show. There's a lot of love that goes into these shows. And that's where I think that they succeed. And I'm hoping, and even Stargate, both Stargate and Stargate Atlantis, again, a lot of love, those shows. Now, that being said, where Sci-Fi falls short is where I don't want to say the reality programming, because a lot of people dig the reality programming. I'll watch Ghost Hunters and I enjoy it. I can't watch Ghost Hunters International. I can't watch it because to me, they're missing the dynamic that Grant and Jason bring to Ghost Hunters. And that may seem like a silly thing to say, but you know, those guys do have a dynamic and I really like it. Regardless of the standing you have on that show in a whole, the ECW wrestling, I don't know why it's there, but if it's bringing more people to the Sci-Fi channel, I'm willing to give them that one night. but where they really fall short are all these Sci-Fi original films.
I'm sorry, what?
Yes, sir.
Crap. I'm sorry, what was
that? Tell them, T.
Oh, Sci-Fi original shows, Will.
No,
tell them, T.
I'm sorry?
Original film. Mansquito.
I said, tell him, G.
Mansquito, Sea Beast.
Always go back to that. Mansquito. SS Doom Trooper.
Yes, Doom Trooper.
Wait a minute. I heard it when they signed the last deal to get these films. I think they're mostly from UFO still. And they signed the deal. They said they're going to invest for a weekly film that we're going to invest $4 million.
Excuse me?
$4 million for a weekly film. 52 films cost them $4 million.
Oh.
Figure it out yourself.
Oh, that's
I'm like,
cheap.
What?
We could just save that money and make something like those, like Triangle. You remember that one? Or with Lou Diamond Phillips? That was pretty good.
That wasn't bad, right?
Yeah.
That was a miniseries, yeah.
Taken was pretty good.
Yeah.
I wish that's when, and of course when they buy for dirt cheap some of these really bargain basement movies. I mean, when I was casually reviewing films for at the time Slice of Sci-Fi / Dragon Page, when I was casually reviewing films for them, I actually got approached by Asylum Pictures, and they were the guys that did the War of the Worlds with C. Thomas Howell. And I visited their website once, and I thought to them, and when I said to them, you know, I think I'm going to pass on reviewing films, because I could just tell from the production quality of the still shots, I could just tell these are going to be painful to look at. And actually, they were the guys that did, let me see if I can remember the name of it. I think it was called Jolly Roger. I think that was the name of it.
Oh, Jolly Roger.
And it was basically... It was basically a slasher film. It was a slasher film with a ghost.
Pirates, yes.
No,
and it was
dude.
Dreadful. It was dreadful.
okay, why would you think it wouldn't be dreadful? The name was Jolly Roger. Come on.
I know.
But why are they even bothering making these? I mean, they just fill the time and space when they could be making something.
That's
really...
it. That's it. I mean, it's
pretty much it.
It's what you sell.
And. Yeah, but I just find it sad that because at one time, I mean, I've been tracking with the Sci-Fi Channel ever since it started.
Yeah,
me too.
And I have seen it go. I've seen it go from raw to promising to incredible to absolute crap to now what I call the inconsistent years, which is I mean, when you've got Doctor Who. And you've got they've never shown Torch, but when you got Doctor Who, and then you've got BSG, and you had, I still remember, I think the best block of television was when
BSG.
At 7 o'clock
Farscape.
Yeah, I still remember at 7 o'clock they were showing reruns of Brimstone, and then they went from reruns of Brimstone to The Invisible Man, and then from The Invisible Man to Farscape. And then they had Lex, and Lex was like, well, if you're into Lex, great. I was actually into Lex.
It was cute. Yeah.
You know, it had its moments. But the thing is, that was a strong block of TV for geeks. And then when it was Stargate SG-1,
yeah.
Stargate Atlantis, and then it was and then Doctor Who leading in. I mean, again, strong. But that's one night out of five.
That's
I think it was a step up from when I nicknamed the Sci-Fi Channel the Irwin Allen Channel, because I felt like every time I turned on Sci-Fi, it was either Lost in Space, Valley of the Giants, or Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea.
But isn't that what you want from the Sci-Fi Channel? You want those kind. You want to be able to go to that channel and pull up, you know, Irwin Allen, Star Trek.
In moderation.
Maybe late night, but when they put like Sea Beast or something like that, how is that supposed to be making a better image for the channel? Sea Beast.
And
well, I mean, it's no different than somebody doing CM, like them, you see a whole bunch of dragster shows on CMT. I mean, hey, you know.
How much learning is involved in that? Yeah.
However,
exactly. It's interesting.
However, I will say that I think the one thing I do miss that they used to have, and now I'm noticing they rarely have it, They would have these all day marathon called the Chain Reaction, and that was actually how I found Farscape. I was sick as a dog in bed, and I was trying to find something on the air, and I happened to flip over to the Sci-Fi Channel, and it was the pilot episode of Farscape, and I said, "Well, I've been ducking this. You know, there's nothing else, but I'm going to watch it." And I mean, you know, but and there's also something else too. I'll give them credit for doing when they did these chain reactions. Sometimes they would find these really obscure shows that I'd never heard of, and I was like, "Whoa, that was fantastic!" Another time, I was sick as a dog.
That is so unlike what is that Moonlight before BAT? Yeah. This whole thing. What was that torture?
Let me give you one that I thought was great. I was again sick as a dog, and I was looking for something to watch. And the Sci-Fi Channel had this thing coming on called Ultraviolet. Now, this is not to be confused with the Milia Jovovich Ultraviolet.
The Ultraviolet, the British one, yeah.
Jack Davenport, and it was basically people that were genetically altered to become vampires.
Right.
And I was so wrapped up into this. So much, in fact, that my cat was pissed at me because she was looking at me like, "You're supposed to be in bed, not on the couch. Follow me," you know. But
I need more logic space.
Exactly, exactly. But you know, I wish that the Sci-Fi Channel would take some time and not just think that we're lemmings on a cliff and we'll just take whatever they throw at us. I would prefer that they put some more thought into their programming. And when you see that, when you see that potential is in shows like Eureka, like BSG, like rerunning Doctor Who, and the Stargate franchise.
The thing about that is, though, I think it's kind of the Hulu commercial come to life. It's like, yes, they are aliens from outer space. Yes, they think that everything we do is stupid and reactionary, and they're feeding the least common denominator by pumping out bullshit that we don't really want. You know, people will watch what they'll watch, but eventually, you know, you want to watch something like Battlestar Galactica or Farscape or you know, something that has teeth to it, something that has something you can chew on.
I mean,
is this amazing, this conversation? It started out as Battlestar Galactica, it's come around to the Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah, I love it. I love
it's
it.
All related.
Yeah, but to bring it back to BSG, there's been a lot of backlash about BSG, and I've been reading some of the backlash, and while part of me understands it and empathizes with it, at the same time, I'm actually kind of surprised that all of us here enjoyed the finale, because I think there really is going to be a split. There are going to be people who say that Ron Moore copped out, and there are going to be other people who say that was some of the best television I've ever seen, period.
What's the cop out? Because I hear that
really.
A lot. But
yeah,
The cop out. The cop out is that.
Right?
Yeah. Well,
I hear you, Will.
Well, that's what the cynics are calling it.
That's what
Ghost in the Machine. They're saying that, God is in the details and all this stuff. And I'm sitting there going, what? As a matter of fact, I'll go you one, and I'll give him serious props, because when he first said it to me, I was a little taken aback by it, and I told him so, and he actually backpedaled and said, "That's not what I meant. Here's what I meant." But Scott Sigler on Twitter basically said, when I said I was very pleased with the finale, he went, "Well, that's because you're in the whole magic thing. That's not good writing." And I sat there, and I almost said, "Fuck you, Sigler. I don't care if you are a New York Times bestseller. Fuck you." And then I said, "Okay, wait a second. It's 140 characters, and that is the greatest pro and the greatest con." So I typed in a very esoteric, "Whoa, dude, is that what you really think of me?" And he came back and said, "No, what I meant is, you're into the mysticism, and you're into the mystery of sci-fi. I want facts. I want hard science." And he's absolutely right. I mean, I was.
Uh-oh, that tickled you, Phineas.
Because honestly, that's true. Maybe Scott liked the whole idea of the midichlorites being the source of the force. I preferred it when it was just a strange...
The midichlorians.
I'm just saying,
Go ahead, so, Will. I got a little bit of rant on my own here.
Exactly. But my whole idea was, and you know, he kind of couched it in the, well, it could be God, could be anything, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, but it was like when Angel or Head Six put her arm on, you know, on Baltar and said, God has a plan and you're going to help him fulfill it. You're like, oh, what do they mean? What do they mean? No, he really meant it. God has a plan. He will help you, and you're helping him fulfill it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's kind of like he kept to it. He didn't back away from it. I think a lot of science fiction writers would totally back off it. Now, I have to say one thing. I kind of was I felt very vindicated with with the Daniel concept. The idea that I had that, like, oh, wow, you know, he you know, Daniel was actually, no, it wasn't Daniel, it was God. I'm thinking, oh yeah, but it still works, you know, conceptually. Mm-hmm. I'm not claiming 100%. Whoa, yeah, it's not here, oh, it was me. I'm not trying to claim that, and I want that. But it was interesting in that the characters, you know, the characters were linked together, you know, more than originally.
Okay, Phineas, let's hear this rant, because I've been...
Let someone else rant, please.
Yes.
Please rant.
Here's the deal. First of all, I did confirm my suspicion earlier on, if you remember, Kat, when I said that don't rule out a higher level being in this whole mix. He kind of stuck it at the end, but it still came out the same thing. So, hey, you know, 1 point for Phineas. But anyway... but here's what I don't understand about these people who want realism in science fiction. Okay, first of all, that's being a person that has a degree in physics myself, so I'm kind of a physicist. I just don't get paid to do it anymore, you know. I'm gonna tell you something right now. That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. And you ought to give me his username so I could chew him out. Because look, why do we watch these sci-fi shows? They're supposed to be far-fetched. They're not supposed to, you know. Of course, Battlestar Galactica spoiled everybody and took drama into the mix of the science fiction, and that's what it did. But hey, I don't want to go and pay money or spend time to look at something on TV that I can see out in the street, or that I can read, you know, or see some, or hey, there's enough science. For you want facts? Go and read one of these PhDs that have PhDs in astronomy and read that science fiction. That's all fiction, because they act like they've been there and they actually know what a black hole is, and they've actually been through it and everything else. So that's science fiction enough. When I want science fiction, I want to be entertained. Now, if you want to make it in sort of like and mold it into where there's a realm of possibility, like Battlestar Galactica and Stargate and a couple of other shows did, I'm cool with that. But just to go with this, just to pick it apart for facts? No, you know what you pick apart for facts? You pick apart these military shows that have these dudes, you know, these trained military people shooting people from the hip, you know, and taking out 10 people when everybody's pointing machine guns at them. You pick that apart, leave sci-fi alone, and if I want to have some laser beam that when the laser beam comes out, it got somebody's name stamped on the side of it, and it turns corners, and it has a little camera on the end of it, hey, that's cool, you know? Let's leave it at that.
Well, rant, sir. From me.
Bravo, sir, bravo.
Okay, Phineas, I do have a problem. Starbucks. How the hell is she an angel that everybody can see?
I'll tell you. I got an answer for you.
Okay, because I was getting ready to go.
I agree.
Okay,
that.
Here we go. Here
All
we
right,
go.
T, I'm on you.
First off, I want to point you back to the tattoo that she and Anders got together.
Okay.
When you put it together, what did it make?
Angel wings.
Angel wings.
Uh-huh.
I believe that Starbuck was, in fact... I believe Starbuck did die, but she was a fallen angel. She was someone that was meant to be an angel, but she had fallen from grace. She had fallen from grace, and this was her redemption. Oh, by the way, everybody, Philippa Ballantyne says hi.
Hello. lover.
Did
she go on
to
DragonCon? Did they ever solve that? No, let me stop.
We're trying to resolve it as we speak.
Let's not talk about that.
That's for a different podcast altogether. So anyway, so she and I think that was also one of the reasons why Anders, when she said "I love you, Sam," Anders smiles and says, "See you on the other side."
And also,
you know, there was something kind of cool. And that was also one of the points where I cried a little bit, because that was the first time that I saw relief in her face when she said, "I'm done here and I'm okay with that." And the other thing too is, and I finally figured out, and I think this was the flaw in introducing the flashbacks in the first episode. I think it would have made more sense if we had seen those Caprica flashbacks in one episode. Like, if they had made it a 3-hour finale, well, I would have rocked. But the thing about the flashbacks, I think the reason why we got those flashbacks, people were claiming that the Caprica flashbacks were all filler. And I go, actually, the way I, and this is me interpreting it, I got it as, you see Caprica, and you see how indulgent of a society it is. It was pretty freaking indulgent.
What, just and strip clubs and that's indulgent?
No. Everything about them, their technology, the way their architecture was set up, and then if you looked at the way Rosalind was a teacher, and look at the pad she had. She had some pretty sweet digs for a teacher. That's some serious serious.
Oh, and she got the cougar around with the young student.
Yeah. But going back to oh, baby. Teach me, boss.
Naughty schoolboy.
You've been bad. It's time for you to get up.
I'll be in my
book.
Sorry. Oh, Lord. Anyway,
I'm sorry. Look, Rosalind Carter ever wanted to go cougar with me? Abso-fracking-lutely. I've had a crush on her ever since Dances with Wolves, okay?
Oh, my goodness.
Now, bringing it back. So you see how indulgent that they are, and how indulgent they are as people, as individuals. And I finally understood the whole, you know, I was kidding with Kat on Twitter about saying, you know, so what was with the dove? And I was like, well, I mean, what was with the pigeon? And I said, maybe they couldn't afford doves, and John Woo was unavailable to shoot pigeons.
Yeah, John Woo would use them all up.
Right, exactly. The pigeon flying out is basically Lee Adama letting go, because that was the other thing too.
I hated that.
I can't remember Lee Adama looking so happy when he just said, "I'm gonna explore. I'm gonna climb mountains. I'm gonna walk prairies."
That's because Lee Adama is a tight ass with bad hair.
Hey, now watch it. You're talking about Archie from Horatio Hornblower. Okay, you back off.
I'll back off, crazy man. But,
That hair was pretty bad, though.
I would say
invasion in the thing. He just had very bad hair.
I would say that really Cara Thrace being an angel is really the only explanation that we have. That in my own weird way, my own little it's all about faith way, makes sense, because when she split away from Anders. She, you know, not to make her sound like Clarence, she lost her wings. Now, granted, if someone had just hit a bell, she would have been okay. But instead, we had this beautiful moment where she literally redeemed herself. She saved Galactica and the human race. She found a habitable planet that just, happened to be called Earth.
So fallen angels, you can feel them and touch them and interact with them. That's how that works? Because, you know, that's how that works?
For me, why not?
It depends on it really depends on your beliefs and all.
Oh,
that.
Okay. Yeah. I just
make
sure.
Some people believe
that. I don't know angels.
Mm. Well, see,
have I ever personally met angels? No, but have I met people that have influenced my life and then have suddenly turned around and they're not there? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And do I in my faith, do I believe in angels? Yes, I do believe in angels, and I liked the way if someone had said to me, it was first proven that Starbuck had to be something. Was she a Cylon or was she something else? And what I find funny is, you know, back in the 70s when they had the Space Angels in the original BSG, nobody blinked at
Yeah, Ship of Lights. Nobody blinked at that.
Oh, that was space.
But now,
I was waiting for the Ship of Lights to come in. I was so waiting for that.
Right. But now here's the thing. So nobody blinks at the Ship of Lights. But then, you know, Starbuck turns out she is an angel, and all these hardcore sci-fi geeks freak out. I'm sitting there going, so let me get this straight. You could buy the Ship of Lights, but you can't buy Starbuck being an angel. You know what? Screw you.
I didn't see the original, so I don't know anything about a Ship of Lights.
Just let it get back around to me.
Okay, Phineas. What's up?
Okay. Well, see, here's the thing. You know, when you got to remember now, you're talking about a lot of people taking things to an extreme. Okay, like what is the real definition of an extraterrestrial? You know, a rock in our space is extraterrestrial. You know what I'm saying? But people have a tendency to put things on, you know, to have an expectation of what something is supposed to look like. The people in the light, the people in the old BSG, the people of light, they did not call themselves gods or whatever. They were playing themselves down the whole time. And people bought it because that's what a person would expect to be a ultra supreme being. You're not going to expect somebody who looks like you, who you can feel and touch, to be a supreme being, even though they very well could be. And by the way, there are a lot of people in different religions that believe that we should watch how we treat each other because we could be entertaining an angel. So it just all depends on what you believe. And you got these sci-fi, these geeks or whatever, that have an expectation of what an extraterrestrial or some advanced being is supposed to be like. And, you know, here you got Kara Thrace. Nobody knows what she is, and she could be one of these deity beings or whatever. And, you know, well, that's they feel cheated because she should have turned into some light and just whizzed away, you know, like the ascended beings in SG-1 or something. You know, well, that's what I think it all came from.
Oh, well, you're talking about me then, because...
Yeah.
All right, Will, we haven't heard from you in a while. So
I'm fascinated by this this aspect of the show. I mean, you know, as T's mentioning things and Phineas mentioning things, it's like, oh yeah, you know, there were. I think Ron made up his mind to use, you know, God for want of a better term. Long, you know, right at the beginning.
Well, can I ask something? You and Phineas. All right, so we find out in the end that Head Six, Head Baltar, have been controlling things the whole time.
Maybe not.
Or maybe was it Baltar? He's the ultimate god, or what?
No, I think it wasn't.
Yeah. Sorry to bump in everybody, but my kiddo Sonic Boom has put a request out on the floor, so I have to. So unfortunately, she's cracking the whip, and I gotta go.
Okay, well, we enjoyed you.
But did you want to say?
I want to talk to Miss Cat because of what happened to Chick-fil-A.
Do you want to say real quick to Miss Cat what happened to Chick-fil-A?
It better have aliens in it.
Please tell us the fact on Chick-fil-A.
I want you to tell Miss Cat that aliens closed Chick-fil-A on Sunday.
Chick-fil-A is very closed because it closed on very 2 days on Sunday.
Oh no!
Thank you, honey. And on that note, we're gonna sign off. So,
okay.
Team
well,
Monster.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Okay. Well, so Baltar, Head Six, they're supposed to be the word of God. I don't understand how the word of God is in the brain, but y'all say it's some sort of angels and stuff like that. So. I mean, I don't
when
know.
You
it,
pray,
it just
you,
seems like it just seems like
when you pray, do you yell it from the do you spread your arms and yell it from the mountains, or do you speak to yourself quietly? And I speak to myself quietly. So or would if I did that. So that I did what
well,
I
see,
did, but that's another story.
Well, that's a total other discussion
because it's another podcast.
Yeah, but you have to pick up exactly what Baltar said. You know, basically he did not put himself in that light, but because he made the statement that he doesn't like to be called that, But so even if he's not the one, he, if they actually seem like they knew who this this being was, you know what I mean?
So is this
firsthand.
Being extraterrestrial? Is he an alien? I think I'm falling victim to what you were trying to describe earlier, because I still can't understand. Well, how was the head six communicating, or I mean, is it a chip in their head? Was it an exploit of some sort of mental defect? What was it?
I think it ends up being Dr. Manhattan.
Man.
It's God. It's Yahweh. It's, you know.
Well, if he was God,
it could be Gaia. You know, it could be any.
Gaia. Did you just say Gaia?
Gaia.
Oh, Gaia.
Gaia.
Oh, okay. I was like, Gator. I was like, okay, that's
perfect.
Just...
no, it's Gaia. It's any hot Gaia. Wait,
okay.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
The planet. You know, it's a planet.
Yeah.
It's the creature that you don't see. It's ex machina. You know, it's the it's the creature. It's the God in the machinery, and it's and I think. Usually, I would be very pissed off at Ron if he did this. I would go, what the fuck? That doesn't make any sense. But he stated it first thing. But he stated it. He stated it first in the first episode. His head six was there. He said, yeah, God has a plan, and you will help him fulfill it.
Okay.
And that's right. It's it.
And if you think about it...
I just thought he was being weird, though. I didn't think he was going to really, you know, do that.
Exactly. But no, but I mean, he told us the truth. He told us, you know, the existence and everything. And I can't go, okay, yeah, well, you know, okay, you screwed up because you told me exactly what you was going to happen. Wait a minute, hold on a second.
Yeah.
No, it worked. I mean, it ultimately, it works on several levels. And, you know, it's...
I have a question for you. I have a question for you, Will.
Sure.
Are you going to watch this new The Plan movie, and are you going to watch Caprica?
I'll watch Plan when it's on the Sci-Fi Channel. I won't go out of my way to... I'll watch Caprica when it's finally on the Sci-Fi Channel. Because, you know, it's not going to be like 2 weeks. It's going to be, you know... 6 months, but it'll be on the show before the series is.
So you do plan to Ron Morton upset you to a point where you won't be watching his stuff anymore, because I personally won't.
No, actually, I heard the plot of new Caprica, or Caprica, I mean, and I was like, Jesus, I don't really think, I don't know. Oh, great, so you're showing the overshots in the last episode of Battlestar Galactica, so you can reuse them in the show. Okay, well, all right, okay, I gotcha. You know, and if you don't think that happens, every day of the week in Hollywood FX, you don't know Hollywood FX the way we do. But maybe what? Oh, Eric Stoltz? What? Oh, wait, ooh, this looks good now. And so it was like, yeah, it looks good. It looks interesting. It's more interesting than I thought it was going to be.
Phineas, are you going to watch The Plan in Caprica?
Well, first of all, of course I'm going to be a sucker and watch that stuff, man. Even if I hate it, I'm going to be a sucker. But there's one thing I wanted to make a comment about, you know, this whole thing about the head six and all this stuff.
Oh, okay.
You know, every individual has their own concept of reality and truth. And so we always underestimate what we can manifest in our own lives, right? So we have the capability of manifesting, seeing, you know, people in our heads and talking to them, you know. I mean, you ever wonder about them people that you see, you know, on the street, you know, they're constantly talking to somebody that nobody sees.
They are mentally impaired.
Well, hey, what's the definition of that? But I'm just saying that, you know, I'm stretching out there, but
I can see.
Yeah, that, you know, that's all I can say. But yeah, I'm gonna be a sucker and watch this other stuff. What else am I gonna watch? I mean, everything's gone. They killed everything else.
Oh yeah,
you have Supernatural, you have Eureka, you have this new Stargate Universe, you have Big Bang Theory, you have tons of shows.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to Stargate Universe.
I'm going to be a sucker and watch that too, but I'm going to hate that too. But I'm going to hate that. Because,
okay,
you know
Stargate Universe, you don't have to watch it. You don't have to watch season 3 because that's the one they'll get right.
Oh, right.
That was well, the deal with Atlantis, right? It was season 3 it started to get good?
Yeah, they don't have that long to get it right.
They keep making one mistake, Will, and I said this to Cap in the last podcast. You cannot humanize an alien villain. You either got to kill it or you got to let them stay bad as hell through the whole series in order to keep the series interesting. You just can't.
They just humanize the Cylons.
Yeah, they
sucked to me.
I didn't like when they did that.
Oh, okay.
I still watch the show, but I didn't like when they did that. I would have rather had, you know, them defeat the Cylons or get away or something like that. But just to make them, I mean, when I saw Cavill shoot himself.
Oh, my God.
Like,
what was
that?
Yeah,
that was the one thing that
I don't get.
Yeah, that shocked me a little bit.
Why did he do
that? That's what I'm saying. How come he can go from, hey, I'm so bad that I'm going to walk in while everybody's shooting into the middle of CIC, and I am going to hold a gun at this girl's head. First thing, if he was really a machine, he would have shot the girl from the get-go, number one. And then it just didn't make any sense.
I thought that maybe he did not want to be taken captive, or that he thought maybe he had enough resurrection technology to where he could resurrect himself, or that there were other Cavils.
Well, there's a problem with that theory, in that if he has enough resurrection technology so that he could figure out a way to make a ship to resurrect himself, why would he kill himself? He'd have to build the ship first.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? That was a little bit of a...
Well, I mean, it's just not one of him. There was plenty on the ship. Right? Plenty on the...
And then the stupid thing... Like,
yeah, I guess so, yeah.
But then another thing, too. You know, all of a sudden, you got these dead people sitting next to an asteroid, and the dead body just reaches over and hits the button, and all these...
That was awesome! Let's talk about Deus Ex Machina. Let's talk about Deus Ex Machina for a second. That was really Deus Ex Machina.
Oh, man. Now that's some angelic stuff.
I do like the idea that it's like, you know, good and evil are concepts that humanity overwrites on God, which I thought was very cool. That's an interesting
Baltar
concept.
Did a good speech with that. He did good.
Oh yeah, he did. Amazingly enough, the guy who, you know, the ultimate villain, the guy who is, you know, the baddest ass ever, quite literally the baddest ass ever. One, gets the girl, hello. Two, gets humility. That's his whole thing was humility. And
but he was never
the
baddest ass to me in the first place.
Yeah, not
though.
Me either. Not me.
Shall we say the tropes walking in, you know, Starbucks, you know, is the bad, you know, it's the guy, and, you know, and he's like, he's the, you know, he's the ultimate evil, and, or he's the ultimate bad guy. Evil. He was the ultimate evil.
No, he was the ultimate buffoon because he was just a buffoon because he didn't even know what he was doing at first, and he just was following around a piece of lady and doing what she said because he wanted her. I don't really think there was any evil.
No,
he was just stupid.
You got to think about one thing, and where I get up to a lot of discussions with people about Baltar. Baltar was not a villain, okay? Baltar was a person that did what he had to do to survive, because the whole time he felt bad about every last thing that he did, you know, and he, you know, so he was manipulated by his own circumstances. To me, I would not consider that to be bad. I would consider that, you know, this guy was just not very smart.
Yes.
And very defensive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But in the original series, he was evil, right?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I was saying.
Is that right?
He wasn't really evil.
Oh, he wasn't. Oh, okay.
In the original series, one thing that they did bring from the original series, though, was the original Baltar was just a person that was out to gain. He wanted to be king of the whole thing, so he made a deal. He wasn't a villain either, because the whole time through that show, he was doing things to preserve to himself from getting killed, you know? even when he went after the humans, you know, he did things that, to preserve his own behind. He didn't really care about, you know, the extinction of the human race, really. He just was trying to, you know, same thing that this Boltar did, except in a different way, more creative, you know.
Any final thoughts? Any final thoughts? Because I'm going to wrap this up. This is getting to be, like, over an hour. Final thoughts. Yes. Final thoughts on Battlestar Galactica, Will.
It was fabulous. I mean, if I could speak quickly to the effects, amazing.
Okay. Oh, my God. We didn't talk about the effects.
Oh, my God, the effects. So
okay,
cool.
We got to go on for, like, 30 more minutes. Okay, the effects, the Centurions were just beautiful.
I got to say, I like the Centurions. There were a couple shots in there where there was a flash of light and all their shadows disappeared. I'm like, oh, no, guys.
Oh, God. You're the only person on the planet that noticed that.
Dude, that was a pick. That was a nit and a pick. But there were some shots in that was so fracking amazing.
The gun cannons?
Oh, I love the gun cannon.
Oh, they were so beautiful.
Oh, that was cool.
No drool from you, Phineas? You didn't like the special effects?
Anything?
I'm just waiting for y'all to get finished, that's all.
Oh, my goodness. He's trying to shut up.
Oh, no. Jeez, another rant again. okay, good. But, I mean, good that it's another rant. But,
the ship kind of remind me of the Babylon 5, Shadow
Vessel. I think it was Nemesis. Star Trek Nemesis. Yep.
Oh!
Star Trek Nemesis.
Oddly enough, I haven't seen Nemesis.
Sorry. What? Okay, you have just lost 50 points off
Wait,
of your
hold up. No, because Star Trek Nemesis was. What's that? That's the one with Shinzon, right? That was not the best movie. Yeah. I can understand if somebody did not see that movie.
I've seen bits of it.
Not the best movie. It was fun. I watched it because I love Star Trek. Oh, okay. You can't be holding people, you know, responsible for not seeing Star Trek Nemesis. Come on. If he hadn't seen Wrath of Khan, then okay. But Nemesis?
Go for 50 points.
Okay. I'll take it down to 25 points.
Oh, 25 my goodness.
Points. I'll give you half off.
Okay, thank you. Oh, wait a minute. No, the idea is that the thing that I really liked was when Lee and the team are coming into the ship and they're bringing Cylon to them, and he turns to Cylon and goes, okay, you move on ahead. You know, he gives a hand signal to Cylon. Cylon, you know, gives him an acknowledgement, looks behind him, and then walks forward. I'm like, dude, that was so good.
Yeah.
It was so well done. That was cool.
It was visually pleasing.
I mean, even the final shots of
going into the Adama sun.
Going into the sun is cool. What's his name? Flying off the Viper. Bill flying off a Viper. Is Viper off the ship?
Oh, yes.
The set extensions were so great, and he just flies off, and then you get the full ride down the tube. That was so cool. I just love that.
I just love the fact, too, that the Galactica took so much fire. They shot that thing to hell, and it just kind of stuck around.
Yeah, and it barely held together. It because the waves of our power just swooping through it, and it's cracking, and and it actually kind of settled into its moorings, even though it was in space. It was a very well choreographed, very well shot, very well done effects.
Yeah.
The guys at BSG 73, I think is what it's called. That's the effects team at Universal.
Oh, okay.
It's Gary Hudson put the effects team together, and they were working on that.
If that was the only finale, if that was the whole thing, that part
right
there.
Oh, yeah.
Just yeah.
Yes. Very cool.
Where's this rant, Phineas? You. I'm always scared. I'm always scared. Like, oh my God!
No, it's not going to be that bad. No, I agree. I agree with Will. To me, I thought that was going to be it, and that it was going to be totally different. I'm glad I was wrong because, I'm glad they didn't. You know, they kind of. But I did like the whole battle scene. It was just great. You know,
mm-hmm.
the way that they did the whole battle scene went. and the fact that he rammed the Galactica into that. I was like, oh, this is cool. This is gonna be it. But the only thing I really felt cheated about was the fact how they kind of it was cool how they whoever thought of it put a lot of thought into it as far as having Kara put in the right coordinates to jump to. But I just thought that was the only way they were going to escape, because otherwise, you know, heck, they nuked the whole thing. So why should they survive, you know? So other than the far-fetched way that they kind of fast-forward, you know, the Galactica to the moon, I enjoyed the whole situation. Of course, another thing that I thought was creative was how they reproduced the simile or the metaphoric thing with the opera house. I thought that was kind of
great. Mm-hmm. That was good.
When they came in and also they the fact that the chief killed, what's that lady's name?
Tori.
I am so glad that he broke her neck. It was a shame. I was like, scream. I was okay, like, yes, like, I would have killed her. You should have broke her neck so early on.
Oh, man.
I want nobody to kill me. Please don't kill me.
Yeah,
because I really love that part. So overall, I totally agree with both of you on that. I really enjoyed the effects of the last episode. And enjoy, especially, you know, I would have liked to see Adama, good old Husker, go in there, man, and shoot down some Cylons. That would have been cool. That would have been icing on the cake.
Well, he did boot one on the CIC. You see how he booted Simon? He shanked him.
Oh,
first.
Man. Total gunslinger.
I love the fact that if you look at the Cylons that were on the colonial side, they just had a red stripe painted across their gut.
Oh, I love that.
That was so freaking cool. It's like, come on, spray paint. It was so cool. I mean, and the other thing was, they ended up using the old-style Cylons.
Yes.
In the core, which I thought was, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder why that happened. I mean, you would have think
my thought, Nat, is they were lying around and said, "Oh, let's throw those in there."
They did it because it was cool.
Literally that much. Yeah, exactly. Literally, it was because it was cool.
Cool. Well, let's wrap this one up. This one is going to be a long one, but I enjoyed every second because you guys are awesome. Oh. I know. I'm going to have to get somebody who actually hated the episode to come on, because I think we all pretty much liked it. Yeah. So thank you, Phineas.
Even if you find someone who says they didn't like it, they're going to end up liking it.
Yeah, but I know, because it's just, you can't really hate this one. You can't really hate this one. So, Will, thank you as always. I appreciate you showing up. Phineas, thank you for showing up. Hello.
Yeah, I'm here. You're welcome.
Okay. Uh-oh, you're welcome.
I hope that I turn out getting into some other show so that we can do this again. Otherwise, we may not be podcasting together for a while.
Oh, you're going to watch something. I'm going to make you watch something. And though T-Morris, you're going to do it. No, and thank T. Morris.
Fringe.
And
you gotta do Fringe.
Fringe. Okay, we'll do Fringe. I gotta catch up. Thanks T. Morris and his baby girl. And thank you guys for listening this long. This was a fun
episode.
Chick-fil-A. The aliens. So bye guys. Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye, Battlestar Galactica. The Computer King will miss your delicious darkness.
And that's the show. Thanks for listening. To comment on the show, go to scifipartyline.com or email me at fancyfinbot@gmail.com. To leave your thoughts via voicemail, give me a call at 206-203-2289. If you want to join in the next episode or have a show that you want to talk about, just find me under the username of fancyfinbot on Skype, Twitter, MySpace, or Facebook, or just go to fancyfinbot.com. You can also find this podcast on iTunes. Again, thanks for listening, and see you at the party next time.